Hello, and welcome to the Equalizer podcast. I'm Jenna Tonelli. I'm here with my co-host, the incredible Taylor Vincent. We are here with our third episode in our player interview series, Their Stories, Their Voices. As we cover the league, it's really important for us at Equalizer to give the players we cover the chance to tell their stories in their own voice. But before we introduce today's guest, Taylor, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Really excited to be back on the show and get the honor of introducing our very special guest. This player was named, was drafted 23rd overall by Sky Blue FC, which is now Gotham FC, now plays for the San Diego Wave, was named the 2021 Best 11, was the 2022 NWSL Goalkeeper of the Year, won the Olympic gold medal with Team Canada in 2021, and is on her way to the 2023 Women's World Cup with the Canadian national team. It's Kaylin Sheridan.
Thanks for having me. We need to cut the list now.
Quite a mouthful there.
Yes, all well earned. So yes, Kaylin, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. So I wanted to start with something that's not entirely soccer related, but is tangentially, and something I know is important to you, which is Pride Month. So this year marks the second time that every NWSL team has hosted a Pride Night. And I know San Diego's is coming up on the 24th. So just for you, you know, what do these Pride Nights mean on a personal level? And, you know, why do you think it's important, not just to fans, but also to the players?
Yeah, it's massive. And I'm really proud that San Diego has taken a really big step in that direction and been really proactive about it. And it's a massive step forward. I think I was in the league when there was so many disputes over even having a Pride Night or being able, I mean, I played for Sky Blue and we didn't have it, or when some players were wearing it and some players weren't. And it was really frustrating time. So being a part of teams and seeing everybody be so inclusive and positive and just excited to share the field together and promote such an important aspect of all of our lives, I think is massive. And it's really great for me to be a part of it, but also great for me to see it.
Awesome.
So right now, San Diego is in a great spot. You guys are halfway through the season at the top of the table. What do you think is going to be kind of critical to keep the momentum in that second half of the season?
Yeah, I think we've done well. I think we've had a few bumps in the road, but I think it's important for us to have had those already and be able to learn from them and come back stronger in the second half of the season. I think the depth that we have on our team is going to be really important. We're going to need the entire team to get through this season on top. And we have incredible players who still haven't, I think, shown their potential yet. And I'm really excited for them to get the opportunity to get on the field and really show the league what they're capable of. And have that confidence to play and be at their best level. So I think that we have a couple secret sauce coming out, a little secret sauce coming out.
I love it. I love a secret sauce. So yeah, I mean, your next regular season match is against state rivals, Angel City, you know, NWSL relatively young and only in its 11th year. Of course, you know, when we think rivalry, we always thought Cascadia rivalry. That was always the big one. But now the ACFC San Diego Wave is making a big run to compete with that. So can you talk a little bit about that rivalry, kind of how it feels as a player to play in those games and just kind of why rivalries are fun and important for a growing league?
Yeah, rivalries are great. They're a huge part of sports in general. And I think we always see them in men's sports. And I think it's really important that we create them in ours because they're there. I think the players feel it. And when we're playing the teams that are the closest to us, we feel that extra desire to just be the better team and come out on top. I think no matter what, you go into a game, you want to win. But sometimes when that team is just so much closer, it creates that just, I don't even know. It's so much more than just the game. Like you want to convert their fans. You want to take the pride in the state, or like have that kind of, we're the best in the Northeast, or we're the best in the, you know, we're anything. We're the California team, you know? And I think that it gives fans an extra thing to hold on to and to rub in the face of the other team. And ultimately this game is important no matter what, whether they're in California or not. This league is so competitive that every game is important and you need to get points every week. But I think for us to create that rivalry within California is going to be massive. And with another team coming in, they're definitely going to want to join. But I don't know if they're there yet. I think we're pretty like this. So I don't know if we have the same feeling yet about them. They're going to have to work their way in.
Absolutely.
So four of your last five matches between Challenge Cup and the regular season have been clean sheets for the Wave. And you've had some incredible saves to keep those as goose eggs. Kind of what has been the key to that cohesion that we've seen between you and the back line?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a big back line thing. I think there has been an emphasis on defending crosses and defending our box and being dominant in our box. And I'm really proud of the team and the way that they've stepped up. And, you know, Casey's been challenging us on out of possession and how we maneuver our press and how we defend our box and take pride in that. And I think everybody's really stepped up. I honestly don't think I've had to make that many incredible saves lately. And it's because of that, because of the way that they've defended and been so ruthless in the press. So I think it's a great achievement, but it's more of a team achievement because I know all the work that we've had to put in behind the scenes, knowing from before that what we were giving up and what we weren't capable of. And I think we've put so much of a focus in and kind of challenged ourselves to be better in ways that we decided that we wanted to be better in. We set goals for ourselves at the beginning of the season and we weren't on track to really keep them if we continued the way we had started the season. I think the last couple of weeks have really shown our strength and our resilience.
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of taking like more of a just step back and looking at the league as a whole, as it's seen so much growth this year, you know, for San Diego specifically, you know, you started playing your games at Snapdragon at the end of last year, but now it's your first full season there. You guys draw amazing crowds. So can you talk a little bit about kind of like the atmosphere, the fans, and especially how that is just so great to see at so many teams, especially since you first joined the league in 2017? I mean, you used to play at Rutgers, so totally a huge difference.
A blow up. No, it's really great to see. And I think all like looking at what we're playing in right now, what Angel City's been able to do, what Kansas City is creating in the next few years and like challenging teams to be better. And I think we're so competitive. It's kind of like that rivalry mindset. Like we're so competitive as teams and as players already that we want to outdo down to our stadium, yeah, how nice your stadium is and how nice your training facility is. Like we're always competing in that way. So I think when we are able to play at a field like Snapdragon and have that feeling, that home base, it's really passionate to be able to like, look what we've got, you know, like, what do you got? Come at us with something better, you know, challenge us with something better. And I know that if they did that, we would have to come back and do something bigger. You know, I think that's how we grow our sport and that's how we grow the league. And since I was at Rutgers back in the day, that's what teams have been doing. They've been saying, well, look what we got now, and just leveling up. And I think that's how we see the growth in the league.
So San Diego last year kind of set the standard on what's possible as an expansion team by first making playoffs and then making it all the way to the semis. What has kind of surprised you most about this club?
I think coming in, knowing it was an expansion team, like you kind of have that, like, not doubt, but it's a preparedness for, you have to go through some bumps in the road in order to be successful and to catch up with the teams that have been here for so long. But I think when we got in here the first month or two, you could feel the belief and the passion and the like talent in the room. I think we ultimately, like from the first month or two, we were like, we could totally win with this group. And I know that we could have been capable of doing that. And unfortunately we fell short, but I think that immediate kind of belief in the team and the ability and the desire, but also just like the club itself had that desire already. And I think we as players were like, well, let's just see what we got first. You know, let's just see what does everything look like? We're just getting here. And then we all got in and we were just like, yeah, 100%. We're on board. You're right. We could totally do it. And I think that belief kind of carried us all the way to the end. And ultimately in our mind, we were going for it. Like we knew we were capable of winning it. So we kind of fell short. And now we know, we truly know, we don't have to believe it. We know we are capable of it. And we know that our fans know that, and the league now knows that, and everybody is looking at us differently now. And I think when we came in last year, I remember seeing like a poll that had us coming in last place, and I was like, bet, just keep thinking about that. You just keep thinking that about us, okay? And this year coming in when they, you know, they put us in like second or third or something. And I was like, yeah, remember last year, y'all? Remember it?
Yes, that's fuel. I love it. Ending on a positive note on the NWSL side and moving to the international stage, obviously World Cup coming up, Canada, big contender, coming off gold medal in Tokyo a couple of years ago. But, you know, as you know, anything can happen once you get to the tournament, anything can happen. So just for you, what are some of your thoughts going into the World Cup?
Yeah, I'm obviously really excited. It's been a dream of mine for a really long time. And being in France was incredible. And having a team that we have right now going into Australia, I think we've hit a lot of adversity. But I also know that the group that we have right now is going to compete. And we're completely capable of going all the way. I think it's going to be us versus us. I think it's who shows up that day. Is it our best or is it not our best? And I think if we show up every day at our best, then I know we'll be at the top at the end. So ultimately it's going to be, can we get ourselves in the best situation to be at our best every day? For me, that's all I'm looking at going into this World Cup is how can I be my best and put the team in its best place to be each player, be the best that they can be. Because I do believe in them a lot. I think we have some really young, talented players who are going to be around for a long time and who are going to shock the world. But I also know that we have a lot of veterans that are going to lead us through when this is a long tournament and we are going to need that extra push. And we're going to need that wisdom of what do I need to do right now? Because I feel like my legs are going to fall off and we have to fly to a new city, you know, like things like that, where we need that wisdom and that experience.
Canada is considered to have drawn the group of death with Nigeria, Australia, and Ireland. As a player, is that something you think about? How do like knowing who's in your group and like who your opponents are factors into like your mental prep?
I think mental prep, it's really similar. I think no matter who you're playing against, you want to be your best mental performance that you can give. And the mental performance doesn't really change in that, because I think we all want to be our best and we all challenge ourselves. We're probably our hardest critics, no matter who you're playing. Like we could be playing anybody every game or the best team to the worst. And, you know, it could still have that pressure on yourself because that's who you are as an athlete. So ultimately that mental kind of preparation is going to be really similar, but we do have three very strong teams to compete against. I think it's a great challenge for us, actually. I think we play our best against some of the best. And I think that's going to put us in the best place to go further into the tournament. If we can start those three games off really strong, it's going to put us in a great place to know what we're capable of going all the way to the final. So I'm actually really looking forward to it. And I think the preparation only really changes tactically based on what the opponent's strengths and weaknesses are.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. So, speaking a little bit more about the World Cup, of course, the Olympics were stymied by COVID. You had to play in those empty stadiums, and this World Cup will not be that. It will be very much full. So, you know, as a player, like, what was that experience like, you know, during the Olympics, not having the crowd and like knowing you're going, you know, you won gold in that tournament, and then going into the World Cup, knowing like you're going to have that atmosphere that I'm sure you all love to play in front of?
Yeah, we definitely missed the atmosphere in Tokyo, and it was still an incredible moment in my life that I'll never forget, and something that nobody will actually probably ever be able to compare to. I think only the people that were in the tournament will ever get that, know that feeling, and that honestly, the stress and the impact that it had on us, it put a lot of different stressors that we didn't know were going to happen just from the outside world. But I know going into a tournament that Australia have created is going to be incredible. I mean, they've already sold so many tickets. They have so much going on outside of the games. They're really putting on an incredible World Cup. And we know from having traveled there last year to play them that their fans are ready. They are excited and they want to see their team succeed, which is only going to make Australia stronger, which ultimately is only going to make us stronger. So I'm really excited to be there. And I think that they're going to put on an incredible World Cup, one to probably compete with all the ones before and really set a standard for how a World Cup is supposed to look.
And then knowing that it's a World Cup year, Does your approach to practice change at all as you're with San Diego? Like, do you take extra reps? Do you do different drills? Kind of, what is your thought on that?
Yeah, I think I actually don't think it's much different. I think because I have a really good relationship with the coaching staff here and there, and they have a really good relationship, which I haven't really had a lot in my career, is amazing for me. So we're constantly having collaborations of what I want to be working on, what they want me to be working on. Obviously, there's tactical differences that will adjust, but when it comes to my individual training and just goalkeeper training in general, I'm really lucky that that collaboration is there. So it's not like a rush to the World Cup kind of thing. It's already been set in place months before, and we kind of already have created those environments that are really similar from when I go to camp to when I come back. And the conversation of, okay, this is what I saw when she was in camp. What do you think? And this is what we've been working on lately. Is this similar to what you guys want to continue? And that's been massive for me to have. And like I said, something I haven't really had a lot in my career. And I'm really grateful for that now.
Yeah, that's an incredible thing to have there to make it all more cohesive. So yeah, before we go into the super fun lightning round, what are some of your personal goals, professional goals, both for club, country, on, off the field? What are some things you're working towards this year?
Yeah, I think it's obvious. I think I want to, we all know I want to win the World Cup. I think everybody going to the World Cup wants to win the World Cup. If they don't, they're not, they should probably give up their seat to somebody else. I obviously that's a really big one for me. And then coming back, I want to win the league with the, with this team, with this group. I think we're capable and we want it more than ever. But personally, I just want to leave the year feeling like I've done everything possible to put myself in the position to do that. And if I fall short, I fall short, but I want to know that I did everything I could have and trained my hardest and left every stone unturned.
Yes,
I have a
awesome.
question off of that one. Is there trash talking happening between you and the other players who are expected to go to the World Cup in San Diego?
There's always like a little bit, but right now we're very like we got a big game coming up. We want to get it, make sure that we get the most points, cohesively. But I think there's little comments here and there we give to each other. But I think because we're good enough friends, it's we can get away with it,
It's all in good fun. No, I love that.
think once you get on that plane, everybody changes though, you know? I'm just messing with you.
Right. True colors, though.
We'll probably grab coffee and everything when we get there and just still shoot the shit. So.
It's awesome. All right. So moving on to the lightning round, we have just a series of kind of fun get to know you type questions. So, we'll ask the questions and then you just kind of answer the first thing that comes to your mind. So, all right. What is your current go-to hype up song before a game?
Becky Hill, My Heart Goes.
What is your go-to coffee order?
Iced coffee with a little sweet cream foam.
Okay, iced all year round, winter again iced.
I think just easier, probably like a vanilla latte if I had to go hot, just like something cozy.
Yes, okay. I'm iced all year round. So, okay, so hypothetically, it's the end of a game, but you have to come out with an injury and there's no more subs left, and one of your field players has to go in goal. Who do you trust? Pogacar. All
That's
right. Why
it's
her?
time.
Amazing. Go ahead,
Okay. What is your favorite post game or recovery treat?
A Diet Coke.
Favorite restaurant in San Diego?
Oh, there's so many good ones. If I'm getting Italian Barbusa, if I'm getting like tacos or something, I'm still trying everything, but I love the Taco Shack, so.
That's for me for when I come visit San Diego.
That's for me for Saturday.
Oh, they are.
Current TV show that you're binging.
What am I binging? Honestly, I think I'm watching the Tour de France documentary right now.
It's
Oh,
very good. I finished it over
good.
the
It's like
weekend.
F1, but on bikes.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should watch it. Okay. So I know you're kind of a Jersey girl, but you've been out west for a while. So East Coast or West Coast?
Oh, it's tough. It's a tough one. My family's over there on the east, but I do really enjoy it out here on the west. I don't know if I can say out right now.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. All right, so help us settle a debate. Is Texas considered West Coast?
No.
She
All
thinks like
right.
who's well,
debating?
I've lived in New York my whole life, so when I think Texas, I think West Coast.
Oh no.
We were discussing how things would get split, and like Boston enters, and Jenna's like, "Oh, just put Texas in the West." I was like,
no, nah.
All right, we got the definitive answer here.
West team. We'll just get a new West team to join.
All right, okay, okay, I like that. Okay, so this one has been a little bit controversial on the podcast, so we keep asking it, but candy corn, yes or no?
Only in October.
Okay, all right. That's a very like presidential answer. I like it. All right.
Okay, well, Kaylin, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else you'd like to add about San Diego, the upcoming World Cup, anything at all?
A wave.
Love it. All right. So thanks again, Kaylin. You can catch Kaylin in the San Diego Wave this weekend as they take on their state rivals, Angel City FC, at home on Saturday, June 17th. Thank you for listening to the Equalizer podcast. Big thank you to our producer, Jacqueline Purdy, and we will see you next time.